Zoe.
What, you got something to say? All right. Where's Zoe?
Are you singing this
one? We'll let Miss Kristen say it first, then we'll let you sing. How's that? Preach one day, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I didn't know, you know what I mean? Okay, test 1, 2. No.
Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future.
hearing you, Lord. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not afraid. My failures and flaws, Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me
What a day we've already had. Go ahead and stand with me, because they're just giving me about 10 minutes, and they said we're going to open the doors. Whew, I got to get it all in here as quick as I can. But we're so glad to be here today. Youth Sunday is always a blessing, and I tell you, those kids knocked out of the park as they always do. We're going to be in Acts chapter number 4. We're going to look at the first 13 verses. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers, the elders, the scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power and by what name have you done this?" Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "You rulers and you people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he was made whole, Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of your builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they had saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Father, as we come to you today, to thank you so much. I count it a privilege to be in your house today. What a blessing to be here and to be a part of what we've seen, what we've heard, what we've experienced here. Yes, it's been emotional because we are emotional creatures. You created us to feel, but God, also it's an experience of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. We felt your presence here today within our spirits, within our very beings, within our very souls. And I thank you, God, for that privilege this morning. Thank you for all those that have come out today. And God, I pray right now that the remainder of this service will be no different than it has been thus far, that you will be in complete control of it, that you'll be glorified throughout the remainder of it, that your word will be preached here today. I pray, God, that you preach to me, give me what I need to hear from you today. And give us as a congregation, God, all of us within the sound of our voice that'll need to hear, God, from you today. And as Scotty says, I come here to hear from you, and I have too. I've come here to hear from you, and give us, God, from your table, feed us that spiritual food and strengthen us to better serve you. We love you, praise you, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking for a couple of weeks about loving like Jesus. And so we're thinking about what does that mean when we think about the character and the traits of Jesus. There's a lot of big things we could mention, but I want to kind of look at some of those things that are not so commonplace. Maybe some things about Christ that we've maybe not thought about before. And so today we want to look at boldness. Amen. I want to look at boldness. Oh my goodness, what better Sunday could we preach about boldness than to see the boldness of these kids getting up here today. And you know something? They are unashamed.
That's exactly right. Amen.
Praise God for that. They're unashamed. How many of us are ashamed to stand for Christ when we're given opportunities? How many of us back off when resist when the Spirit tries to pull us, lead us, and drive us to say or to do something that would impact the kingdom of God, but we're afraid to? They're unashamed, and I thank God for that. We as a church would do well to learn from their example how powerful that is. It's a shame that as we grow up, we lose some of that boldness, don't we? You know, when I got saved at 7 years old, seven to about, I don't know when it started to set in, maybe when I hit my early teens. Man, you know what I believed? I believed God could just do absolutely anything. I didn't just believe God could do anything. I believe God would do anything. There's a difference. A kid that gets saved, trusts and believes in Christ, thinking he, not only can God do anything. You know, I remember going outside one day and I was at church and we were doing something inside. And I walked outside and it was raining. I said, Lord, I don't want this rain. Just make this rain stop. I mean, it didn't, but. I mean, that's the kind of belief and faith that I had in Christ, you know what? And so somehow or other we lose some of that. So I think in losing that faith, in letting the world steal that joy away from us, and letting junk come into our minds and our thought, as we grow up, we think we're becoming more intelligent, but we're losing our spirituality and really believing God to be exactly who He said that He was. And I believe we lose a portion of our boldness. So I want to give you the definition of boldness before we misunderstand what we're talking about when we're talking about an attribute of Christ. Boldness means to be confident. It means to be courageous. It means to be straightforward. That's the definition of boldness when we look in the Word of God. We think sometimes, well, boldness is standing up to somebody. Boldness is being, you know, outspoken. It can be that to some degree, but here's what also we need to understand when we think about what boldness was to Christ and what it needs to be to us, to Christians. Here's what it's not, okay? Make note of these. Boldness is not arrogance. Just because we're loud and obnoxious does not mean we're bold. It's not condemnation. Boldness is not about me condemning somebody else. Boldness is not necessarily me correcting somebody else. But what boldness is this. Boldness is truth seeking. That's what Christ's boldness was. It's truth seeking. It's about wanting to get to the truth of the matter and getting to that truth with love. There was a professor that had a group of kids together, and he had asked a question. Someone sitting in the back of the room said, does anybody have any questions regarding what we're talking about? And this one young person in the back of the room, mine was just racing. I've got a million questions because I disagree with what is being said, but nobody else is responding. So what they assumed was that everybody else in the room agreed with the statement that had been made, and they were terrified to be the only one to stand up. You ever been there? Pluralistic ignorance. You didn't know I knew such a big word. How you like that? You're going to Google it, make sure I'm telling the truth now. It's when we get to the point to where we feel as though others or a group around us has already adopted a belief system, and what we believe or what we think contradicts that, and we're terrified to say anything about it. We'll sit in the back of the classroom and we'll say what? Nothing. Why? Because we don't want to confront. And we're going to get to that in just a minute, in my 5 minutes that I've got left. We're going to get to that in like minute four. But we would do well to understand that Jesus Christ was bold. That may not shock you, but it's one of the lesser known attributes, I believe, when we talk about Jesus Christ. He was very bold. I've got a passage of scripture in Matthew in chapter number 23. We're going to look at a couple of verses. Just to make note, truth is not ever or should never take a back seat to politeness. I want to be polite. Hopefully I'm going to rattle off a couple of little thoughts here, and I had to write them down so I wouldn't butcher a phrase somebody had said, but very important and very precise, that we must be bold even at the expense of being polite. Don't feel as though, well, I've got to be polite. I don't want to bring up something that's going to be uncomfortable. I don't want to talk to somebody about a situation that's going to cause a little bit of ruffled feathers. Jesus was bold. In Matthew 23:23-24, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." I would imagine that's pretty bold. "For you pay tithe of mint, of anise, and cumin, but have omitted the weightier matters of the law." And these he's calling judgment, mercy, faith. "These ought you to have done, you, and not to leave the others undone. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel." So he's saying you're conscious of things that are important, but you're forsaking those things which are more important and more vital to the kingdom of God. Jesus was not afraid to be bold when he needed to be bold. And we must learn it's a time for us to stand up and be bold. Listen, in the world we're in today, Christians are hated.
Yeah.
We're despised. Because we won't conform, because we won't embrace, because we won't accept anything that contradicts the Word of God. And so we're labeled haters. The world don't like us. The world didn't like Jesus. And you and I have looked at this story and this event where Jesus came into the temple and he turned the tables over. I'm going to say in all the instances where we see boldness of Christ, I'm going to say that's probably one of the most prominent ones that we see when Jesus came in and he was He was aggravated. You know, he was angry. It's okay for us to be angry as long as we use anger the proper way. But Jesus came in, started turning the tables over. You've turned my Father's house into a den of thieves. What was it that Jesus saw that made him so angry and upset and wanted to turn tables over? It'd be like coming in here and go back there in the fellowship hall and just start flipping tables over. We'd think somebody going crazy if they're doing something like that. Jesus had a reason for doing and saying what he did. These people would come into town with these Roman coins, and they would have to get those exchanged into shekels so that they could purchase the animals that needed to be purchased for the sacrifice. Not everybody's carrying around a couple of goats under their arms. So conveniently, people were there selling goats, selling, you know, doves, selling animals for the sacrifices. So it became a marketplace. I'm not saying that it's wrong for somebody to purchase an animal for the sacrifice, but they had literally taken the court of the temple and turned it into a flea market so people could walk through this and purchase all your goodies. While you're there, go ahead and get a Diet Pepsi and some popcorn while you go into the temple. It became a laughing stock, and Jesus saw the heart of the people. So these money changers, the reason he got so aggravated, they would come in with a Roman coin, they would exchange it for shekels, so the money changers are making a little bit of profit off of that on the steps of the temple. Then they're turning around and taking those shekels and purchasing these animals to be sacrificed, and they're making a little profit, extra profit, because of our convenience and being close proximity to the temple. So you see where I'm going with this. This aggravated Jesus enough to where he went in and he wanted to straighten these people out and let them know. I thought about that. I thought about something I'd never thought about in that passage of Scripture that pertains to us as Christians. You know what? It shouldn't happen all the time, probably, because it's probably not needed. But there are times when we need to turn over some tables.
That's amen. That's right. Yeah.
In our own churches, in relationships, in our families. There are times when tables need to be turned over to draw attention to things that need to be dealt with. So that's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I'm bold. I'm going to be bold. Numerous times through the Scriptures, we see that Jesus stood out from the crowd and was bold. He saw the lady that had been taken in the act of adultery, threw her down at Jesus' feet. What do you say, Master? We know what the Word says. The Word says she'd be taken out and stoned. What do you say, Master? You're going to tell us we need to go out and kill her? What do you say, Rabbi? You give us your opinion. And Jesus said, ye without sin cast the first stone. Man, Jesus is so good, isn't he? But Jesus was bold. Jesus was never arrogant. Jesus was straightforward and truthful. And every time that he declared a statement, we must remember, I must remember, that he didn't present it in arrogance, but he always presented it in love. But Jesus was very bold in the things that he did and the things that he said. So if we want to be like Jesus, there's going to be several times within our life that we're going to be called upon by God to stand up and to be bold in a situation. Because what's that old saying? If we're not going to stand for something, then we'll fall for anything. I think there are times we got to plant the flag. And again, we must remember that to be bold is not to be arrogant or to dominate or to belittle somebody else. True boldness, the way Christ demonstrated boldness, is a truth seeker. That's what it's all about. It's about you and I coming together to find a resolution and find truth. That's what boldness of Jesus is all about. So not only did he demonstrate boldness, but he taught boldness. Luke chapter 7, verse 39 and verse 40. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake with himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him. Talking about the woman that touched him, his garment. that touched him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answered to Simon. He said, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. This lady had come and grabbed Jesus by the back of his hem, by his feet. And she washed his feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. And she's a sinner. Already the world had labeled her a sinner, labeled her somebody we don't associate with. But Jesus had been invited to Simon's house to come for dinner. He went, and Jesus came in there and sat down, and this woman kind of bust in, sneaked up behind him, started wiping his feet with her tears because she was broken over her sin, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And you know what Simon and all these other people had to say? What they had to say was, how dare you let this worthless sinner come and touch your feet? I don't even know why somebody let her come into my house. Jesus looked over at Simon. He said, Simon, I have somewhat to say against thee. Jesus taught us there are instances we must speak out and we must be bold in what the truth is. How many times has God given us opportunities to say something or to do something and we don't? Does it ever end good? Granted, it may be an uncomfortable conversation. Most time it's going to be. But Jesus had a lot of uncomfortable conversations. Now, I know there are some folks within our congregation today that have absolutely no trouble. I'm not looking at anybody particular. Speaking their mind. No problem whatsoever saying what you think, what you feel, what I think, what I feel about situations. So there are some of us that is an easy thing. It's okay to be that way as long as we're doing it in love. Then there are others that are a little bit terrified to step up and speak their mind. But Jesus not only lived a life of boldness, but he taught us that it is important for us to stand up and to be heard, especially when we see injustice, especially when the Spirit of God is nudging us to say something or to do something that could make a situation better. To not be proactive in helping a situation, you know what we're doing? We're hurting the situation. Amen. That's right. Eli was not being the father he needed to be. And so God spoke to young Samuel. Samuel, go up and speak to him. Tell him if he don't straighten his boys out, I'm going to. You got this kid, Samuel, living here, just a young man, probably teenage years. And God's speaking to him to go in and talk to the high priest and to tell the high priest, if you don't straighten your boys out, God's going to. How dare he do something like that? Who is he? And what right does he have to stand and say anything to Eli? But the Spirit of God had begun to burn inside of him that he needed to speak. He had to speak, and he had absolutely no choice, he felt. So what did he do? He went and spoke to Eli and told him what God said. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be uncomfortable. But Jesus taught it. And so we must do the best we can to honor and respect what Jesus taught us in the way of boldness. In Luke chapter number 6, here's one of the things, or a couple of things that I believe hinder us from being bold. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. We don't want somebody to think bad of us. Amen. Are you a people pleaser? Do we want everybody to be happy? Do we want everybody to be content? You know, sometimes at the expense of us declaring truth and being bold in the Spirit of God, we would rather just not say nothing at all as to bring up a situation that is going to be uncomfortable for us to talk about. Listen, I don't like this message any more than you do because it challenges me. I tend to be a people pleaser because I want people to be happy. There are certain areas that I'm very bold to stand on, but then there are a lot of other areas, just as many, that I have difficulty standing on because I want people to be happy and I want people to be have joy, and I don't want to cause them to have to to have a situation or a confrontation or something. I don't like confrontation. But he's telling us we can't let what we consider our limitations prevent us from obeying the Spirit of God. So two things, people pleaser. The second might be fear of rejection. You ever afraid to speak the truth because you don't want your friends to accept you? I think we all have that problem. And we all have situations where God's telling us, commanding us that we need to be bold, but we are afraid to be bold because I don't want to bring up something, even though I know that it's right and I know that it needs to be resolved. I won't bring it up to my friend because it's going to offend them or it's going to cause them to think less of me. They're going to feel like I'm doing nothing but being preachy to them. If the Spirit of God is telling us that we need to speak in boldness or act in boldness, then we must do it. Because to not do it, you know what it's called? It's called sin if we choose to not do it. And I'm going to close up here, believe it or not. Listen, I'm getting... If you wonder, okay, boldness is important and boldness is a great attribute of Christ. He taught it. He lived it. He's telling us we need to do it. We have reasons as to why it's difficult for us to be bold. So how do we become bold? How do we, being people pleasers, being fearful of rejection, how do I become somebody that's bold? How am I bold in the Spirit of Christ? Here's how we become bold. 2 Kings 6, 15 to 17. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and he gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Elisha prayed and he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. We pray for God to open our eyes. And listen to this statement. I would rather perform to win love, rather than perform to win love, we should risk rejection to be loving. Let me read it again because I butchered it the first time. Rather than perform or to act to win love from somebody else, we should risk rejection to be loving. It's going to be uncomfortable for us to be bold. But God has a plan for our boldness. It's going to not only impact the life of the one we're talking with or the group of people that we're talking with, but it's going to have an impact on us as well. When we're standing and bold, again, it's not screaming at the top of our lungs, so we pierce everybody's ears. Boldness is being forthright and being straightforward. It is being truthful. It is embracing the truth of God, even at the cost of losing a dear friend. It's not happened a lot in my life because it's not come up a lot, but I have lost close friends because of how I saw the Word of God and how they defined the Word of God. That's not a brag thing. I'm just saying it may cost you a friendship. I'm just being honest with you. Being bold is not easy. It's not for sissies. Amen. But boldness can come with a cost. But you know what? God will bless you for your boldness. And how many times have people in the Word of God been bold and it have a wonderful, lasting, eternal effect to it? When Nathan stood to David and he said, David, you just literally murdered a guy because you had an affair with his wife. And listen, you're the man. You're guilty. How many of us are willing to be a Nathan and stand before King David? How many of us would do that? Be terrified to do that. Why? Because he could kill me. He could put me to death. But what happened because of the boldness of Nathan? David repented and his heart was changed. Had Nathan not went to David and stood in boldness, not arrogance, but boldness, truthfulness, had he not done that, how long would David have continued going down the path that he went down? Look at the things that we may be a part of that can be prevented because we choose to say, I'm going to be bold for the kingdom of God. Now, we don't need to rally 100 people and go in screaming and hooping and hollering and demanding things. That's not boldness. Be bold, but be bold with the love of Jesus Christ. Do you have boldness as we've defined it? Do you feel as though you're someone that is confident and standing for the cause of Christ? If not, then this would be a great day for us to get that settled. Maybe we don't even know who Jesus Christ is. Maybe you've never been saved. Maybe you don't understand boldness because you don't understand what it means to be a child of God. I pray today that if you're unsaved, the Spirit of God's all over you, and today would be a great day for you to get saved. So we're going to begin an invitation. If God's speaking to your heart about anything, you come to this altar. Stand with us as we pray.